with Harry Matic, medalist at UK Nationals last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was your back on the podium after 2 years in fourth.
Yeah, I think so, roughly that, yeah.
And you landed your first fully rotated quad tour.
First fully rotated quad, yes.
Congrats.
Thank you very much.
What was last season like?
Last season was quite interesting because I feel like every other goal that I had kind of went completely out the window. I had my eyes on getting this quad done and I had nothing else in mind at all. And I think that kind of shows if you watch some of the skates that I did last season. If you watch the Nationals one especially, I did the quad and I think I spent the rest of the program just kind of going, I'm happy I've landed the quad. And then I feel like I let myself lose concentration for the combo and just went splat on the floor. But yeah, no, last season was interesting because I like every competition I was like, right, I want this quad now.
Mm.
And I knew I could do it as well. Like coming up to every single event, I knew I was like, right, I've got a shot, I can do it. And then I remember Warsaw, I did land it. I managed to get the landed quad and then I managed to get a triple throw on the end of it in combination as well. And I actually kept my head on that one. So I kept my head for the rest of the program and I finished and I was really, really happy. And then they called it as an under-rotated.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video, it's only slightly, but you know, I was like, okay, I still need to go again. But yeah, I managed to get it done at National, so I was quite happy about that.
Are you going
to
bring it back this season?
I'm going to try, yeah. Now that I've done it, all my other goals are kind of in my head again.
Yeah, so what were they? Sorry, I should have
said. I want to hit scores, I want to hit clean.
Mm.
I want to be in a position where I'm getting better at doing consistently clean skates in competition. Because I really feel like that's something I've not really been quite good at. So now my goals are coming back into focus. Like I've done my quad, I want to get my quad out again. But I also want to skate clean, so I'm now more a bit like, ah. So I think it's going to come down to how it's feeling. Maybe not quite on the day, I don't really like to do that. I like to know what I'm going in for, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I want to get it out, but I also want to skate clean and do well and maximize my GOE.
Yeah, sure.
And stuff like that, so yeah.
Okay, we saw you at ACI in September at Rosal Classic, where you have become a fixture and a fan favourite. You set your personal best there in the free skate.
Mm.
When you were saying score goals, what kind of scores are you looking to hit?
Honestly, I just any kind of PB or you know best score is I'm happy with. I'm not looking at any particular score. I'd like to hit 200 points in competition at some point. I'm not quite sure if I can get that this season. I'd need to go really, really well.
Mm.
But that's a goal for the future as well.
So you revealed your programs back in Canada.
Mm.
You've got Bohemian Rhapsody and Batman.
Yes.
You're well known for like quirky, fun programs. Can you tell us a bit about how you usually go about choosing your music?
So I usually know kind of what I want sort of thing. I normally have like an idea. Like I was really reluctant to get rid of my Nightmare Before Christmas. I had that I think for about 5 seasons. I absolutely loved it. And so I definitely was thinking, you know, I was happy to keep going with the Nightmare Before Christmas. But I was like, I don't wanna, as I'm not gonna change it unless I think I can come up with something a bit better.
Sure.
So I was kind of looking around and I was kind of going, you know, like I want a character piece. I always like a character piece. And I was thinking, you know, like I'd love to do something to do in like the world of like Batman and things. But like, as like everyone who I've seen do something, it's always either really dull or like for me, like I don't really want to do that. And then I realized, you know, ooh, I reckon the Joker would work. So I kind of was like, I was playing around with music from the Joker and I kind of found the piece from The Miracle of Sound that my program ends with. And when I found this, I was like, that. And I sent it to my coach and said, right, this for a free. And he actually thought I was kidding. He actually thought I was joking because, he emailed me back and said, oh, haha, very funny. I'm like, no, seriously, I think this can work. And he was like, actually, you know, the more I listen to it, you know, yeah, okay. But I thought, okay, I can't use this for the full thing because it's like, I reckon it would get quite samey. So I was thinking around and I liked the idea of kind of having like a Frankenstein program, which it was really hard to cut, if you know what I mean. That, like,
do your own cuts, I assume.
So it was really hard to cut. But I liked the idea of having, like, what's it? You know, like an after-hours theme park thing.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah,
and I was like, this kind of theme. And I was like, oh, I reckon that could be kind of spooky and nice. But, like, it's, like, a same but different in terms of, like, the end bit. And I heard the theme from, like, the Jack Nicholson bit. And I was like, ah, that would work. Because initially we were going to use a piece. I heard it in a competition. And I don't like to reuse music if someone else has used it. But it was used, I think it was the short program from Yagadin, one of Yagadin's programs.
Oh, okay.
And I heard that and I thought, ooh, that would fit. And I was like, and I couldn't quite get it to fit. And I heard this Jack Nicholson, the theme from the film where Jack Nicholson plays the Joker. That is, and I thought, oh, that fits. So there's usually like a bit of a progression with my music where I kind of know roughly what I want. I know like the theme, I know like the style that I want, and then it kind of evolves kind of a little bit to like get exactly, or I hear something and I'm like, ooh, yes, that's what I want.
But you knew you wanted Batman.
But I knew I wanted Batman. I knew I wanted something kind of, or some kind of superhero-y thing, you know, like I wanted some kind of character piece that would be good. But I was like, oh, I'd be boring to play the Batman, but then I was like, you know. And then of course, oh, the Joker. Ding, ding, ding.
Are you a big comics consumer?
No, but with my short, I love Queen.
Okay.
I love Queen.
You chose an instrumental version.
Yeah, I did. So I've always wanted to skip to Bohemian Rhapsody. Always. Okay. I've ever since like 2011, I've wanted to skip to Bohemian Rhapsody for years and years and years. But there's always been something else that kind of came up, and I've thought, oh, I like that. Actually, I'd quite like to do that. Or, oh, that's good. I'd quite like to do that as well. So it's always been like a second choice sort of thing. And then the film came out, the Bohemian Rhapsody film came out, and I thought to myself, ah, I don't use it now, it'll be really well used, because I was like, everyone's gonna want it now. So I was like, I better use it now, otherwise it's gonna become, you know, something like something that people hear and go, oh, this again. And so I was like, right, I'm having it. I don't care what anyone else's opinion is. I'm having something from Queen. Although I want Bohemian Rhapsody, something from Queen. Again, I like characters, so I was like, oh, you know, I was looking through Queen and I was like, okay. I liked the song, like, you know, Slightly Mad. I loved that song, and I've played it to a few different people, and the response that I got was like, nah.
Okay.
No, it's not going to work. It's not. And I can kind of see what they mean. You put it on the speakers on the rink, and it gets quite samey. It kind of fades into the rink a little bit, and I was like, oh, well, I really like it, but, you know, they are kind of right. There's an evolution of the kind of the music that I want. So I knew I wanted Queen. I was like, this one. And then I heard this, the cello one, the kind of the cello, the orchestral Bohemian Rhapsody. And I thought, oh, I love it.
It's a really nice
one. Really love it. I decided, you know what, I'm going to use this one because it's kind of, it's Queen. And it's got all of the character of Queen. But it hasn't. It's not the. It's not. It's not too on the nose.
It's not
the obvious one. So I thought, oh, this is perfect. So it's the one by the Brooklyn Duo and Dover Quartet, and actually they were really good because they got back to me really quickly when I was asking for their permission to use it because we didn't have the code that we needed. And so they got back to me really quickly, so yeah, really thanks to them.
Because
I was really scared. I was like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to use it. I was like, this perfect piece of music that I've wanted for ages. But yeah.
Kudos to you for asking, though. Like, I know that's not consistent.
Well, yeah, I had to get permission to use the main bit of my free as well. And I was like, oh no, because I thought it was Mark Hamill singing. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to... contact them. They're never going to reply to me, you know. And anyway, it's not. It's the Miracle of Sound, and they got back to me like the next day and said, yeah, of course you can. I'm like, oh, great, cool. That's so lucky. So yeah, that's my music, really.
Cool. And Choreo, so you're known for, I remember some topic tightrope walking, and like there are always some like fun choreo touches.
Yes.
Is it Richard Beamish and Emma Davies who choreographed for you as well?
Yes. I have a lot of input as well.
Okay.
I honestly with my choreography, it's one of those things where I think a while ago I realized, you know, I'm not gonna have the same level of technical as, you know, some of the top skaters.
Sure.
You know, and I thought, you know, well, if I want to stand out, I want to kind of be unique in some way. And I was like, well, I know I've got a kind of a very unique character, even off the ice, I'm quite, you know, I've got a very strong character. And I thought, well, you know, I can let this shine through, and use this to my advantage. Sometimes in my free, especially, and I did this as well in my Nightmare Before Christmas, I sometimes just kind of ad lib a little bit, and I have to really rein that in, because it kind of, when you're practicing for jumps and you're setting up for jumps, if you sometimes doing a bit of different choreography, it gives you a different amount of speed. So sometimes I've kind of missed jumps because I've got too into the choreography. So we have to really kind of be careful to not do that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun to choreograph these things, and I like, you know, I like programs that are fun to watch.
Yeah,
you know,
that's such an engaging
program. Yeah, I mean, I had a program quite a while ago now where I remember I had a different coach then, and he said to me, he says, right, we're just going to run the program without the jumps in it, just walk through the jumps, just a bit of conditioning. And I was like, okay. I remember thinking, even in the training session, this program is nothing but jumps. You know, I was like, this program isn't, you know, I was going around kind of going, if you were to take two rotations out of all my jumps, for example, there's no program there. So I remember thinking even then, and I'm realizing, like, if you were to do singles instead of your triples, is there a program? You know, so I that's the test that I kind of apply to my programs at the moment, is, you know, if I took my jumps out, if I did singles instead of the triples or the quad, do I still have a good program?
Yeah, and that's a, you know, great rule to live by.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your choreo sequences are always awesome, so
they're always the most fun to choreograph.
Cool. How would you describe your own style then?
Unique. I try and make it unique. I don't know. I like being different. I've always been different off the ice and on the ice. I like being different and quirky and weird and in my own little way. Yeah.
Fun. You were saying you wanted to skate to Queen since 2011. You've been competing in seniors since, is that 2012? 7 years, am I right?
I think the last Junior Worlds I did was 2011, so yeah.
Okay.
I think the first time I did, the first senior season would have been 2012, yeah.
So I guess when you started in seniors, probably having one quad in the program in the free would be enough to get you pretty close to the podium if it was landed. And now things have changed.
Yeah, so we have really high standards of skating in this country now. I love it. It pushes me because I come in and I can't let myself get complacent, or because we have really good skaters now, and I'm like, oh well, if I sleep in, they're not going to be sleeping in. So
What's it been like for you to see, like, what you admired in skaters growing up compared to what you see skaters doing now?
Ooh. Well, when I was a kid, I remember I watched the 2004 Worlds, the last group of the free program in the men. I watched that. I had it on videotape. That's how long ago it was.
Oh,
now.
Amazing.
Yeah. I remember I watched this every single day till the following Worlds. I loved it, and I was watching it. And especially Brian Joubert and Stefan Lambiel's skates.
Okay.
I really loved those ones. I think some of my choreography might have come from admiring Lambiel, because he had the zebra outfit.
He did.
And so I think he was a bit of a character as well. And I remember him doing the spins before they were required.
Yes.
I've always wondered if that's the reason we have the spins the way we do now. And like, you just did the spins just because. They're not going to give me any extra points, but why not?
Yeah, I know.
You know. So yeah, so I think that's probably a major influence now, the way I skate. Yeah.
Were they your two icons then growing up?
Pretty much, yeah. Brian Joubert and Plushenko, obviously, as well.
Okay, sure.
But yeah, I think they were the main three that I kind of grew up watching and grew up admiring. Dazuke Takahashi as well.
Oh, yeah.
His 2008 skate, when he did the hip hop version of
Cyber Swan.
Yeah, Cyber Swan. I loved that program. I watched that so much. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I think I can really see all of that in your skating. So we're seeing you next at Nationals in 2 weeks. Is that right? Yeah, something like that.
It's end last. My short is the last day of November. Yeah.
Best of luck there, obviously. Any clues where you'd want to go after that, where we might see you again?
Ooh,
on how that goes.
Yeah, it depends how that goes. We usually like to do the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
That's a staple for us. We like that one. Beyond that, I don't know. We change depending on schedule and how training's going and different things. But yeah, so Challenge Cup is usually a solid one for us.
So let's talk about schedule. You're working as a personal trainer, is that right?
Working as a personal trainer, yeah.
What's that like, having to balance work and skating?
Honestly, I like it quite a bit because it means that I get to, because I was wanting to coach. I wanted to go into coaching, and obviously I'm going to go into coaching when I'm retired from my skating as well. It was putting me off the idea that I would skate and then have to spend hours on the ice in my skates, sure, standing in the cold. And I was like, I really want to coach, but I don't want to do this and train. I was like, it's going to be a lot of hours on the ice. And my sister suggested doing the personal training. And I thought, ooh, it's a great solution, because now I get to, not only do I get to input into skaters and get to input into their skating in a way that has really helped me, but I also don't have to spend that amount of time on the ice. I'm not limited to when we've got ice as well, so I can schedule people in, you know, when it's convenient. So it's a real kind of, it's a job that I love. I really do like it, yeah.
You were saying that you realise some stuff about your own skating when you're coaching people. What kind of things has it changed?
Ooh. I think when you coach, you realise that when you're on the coaching side of things, I think you go, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to get done, we're going to get it done. When you're a skater and you're on the side of you're having to do it,
yes,
I think you're it's very easy to kind of go, oh, I don't want to run a free today, you know, I don't want to do my program, it's tiring, oh, I'm tired today. So I think it's given me a little bit more of a toughness that it's like, no,
okay,
no, it's a free program day, we have to do free, that's how it goes. So I think it's really helped me in that way as well.
And you've managed to actually carry it over to your own training.
Yes,
that's impressive.
Well, so a little bit. I do love a good moan.
Cool. So how long's a work week for you then, because I guess you must be training what, 25-30 hours a week?
So I train, I skate 10 times a week, and then I do maybe 3-4 gym sessions a week. My days are quite long some days, but I like to fit them in. Like, Saturday's a busy coaching day because I don't train on a Saturday. So.
Your sister used to skate as well?
Yeah, she did, yeah.
Does she still?
No, I don't think so, not very much. She was quite good. She managed to get all of her doubles, and she did really well. She was actually better than me for quite a long time. I don't actually think I was ever better than her while she was still skating. I think it wasn't until she retired
that
I was like, yes, I can overtake her now, yes.
You started skating as sort of physical therapy from accident.
Yeah, I got into skating because I was in a car accident at 5, it was one of those where I'd had a head injury, I'd had physical injuries, and it was one of those where I was the last person you'd expect to be any good at skating at all, and for a long time I really was not. I remember the first couple of lessons I had 2 minutes on the end of my sister's 15-minute lesson, because I didn't have the concentration, I didn't have the attention span for any more than
injury.
That. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those things where it just started really early days, but I loved it. And
what do you do in 2 minutes? What's a 2 minute skating
2 minutes, I only remember one 2 minute lesson, but I think it was, back then it was like, let's work on my drags. Do a few drags. Let's do some waltz jumps. Right, over.
But that must, I mean, injured as you were, if I were your mother, I would have been so worried that you'd just make the injury work. Like, is it a sport where you fall over so much?
I think it's the balance aspect of the sport that helped, like my head injuries and stuff. I think that's one of the reasons why it was prescribed as physical therapy. I think it did me good, really.
Makes sense.
Still does.
Lovely. Oh yeah. Speaking of your beginnings, were you ever recommended to go into pairs? Did you ever think of going about
Well, it's funny you should ask. No, really, not really. But I actually have done a little bit this year.
Ooh.
We've been doing a little bit. I think it's 2.5 months now where I've been trying a little bit. And it's a lot harder. My mad respect to all pair skaters, because they are insane. Like, when you watch it having tried it, oh my gosh, is it harder. Like, as I say, I would be in the gym like maybe 3-4 times a week. Every session on the ice that we do pairs feels like a gym session.
Oh, really?
So it's one of these things where it's like, normally after my gym sessions, I want to go home, I want to sleep. It's so hard.
Who have you been trying it out with?
So there's Lydia Smart. She skater. She came up to me in August, roughly, and said, "Hey, do you want to try out a little bit?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" But it's weird. It's because I don't know what we're doing is good. It's one of those things because I've never really followed pairs. I'm kind of ashamed to say, like, I've only ever really followed the free. So I don't know what is good. I don't know what's difficult. It's like if someone came on and said, "Oh, I've just landed this jump. Is that good?" And it's a bit like that. You know, we can do some lifts. We can do different things. And I don't know if these lifts are hard, easy. I'm like,
has Richard ever coached pairs?
I think so. Yeah, he's a pairs coach. So
he can tell you, surely.
Yeah, okay. but he's always quite like, "Oh, this needs to be better."
Okay,
he's like, "Oh, if this needs to be, oh, you could do this better. Oh, like when you're doing this," he's always correcting and.
So is this something that might happen then?
Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, Daisuke is going to be an ice dancer, so he says.
Yeah, anything's possible at this stage. I'm enjoying it. If nothing else, like it is very fun. It's a lot. I would say it's a lot harder than free.
Sure.
But it's a very fun thing to do, and yeah, following the pairs actually, because we've been watching it, has been really interesting as well, because it's like a whole thing that I didn't really know I knew it existed, but I'd never really explored it. You know, watching that as well has been really interesting. It's really fun. Yeah.
All these different elements.
Mm. Twist particularly.
In a good way or in a bad way?
The twist particularly is so impressive. You know, we're just learning. We can do a fairly decent single twist at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of throwing someone overhead on the ice, it's so, like, I'm sure she's terrified. Especially because it's me throwing. But I'm terrified for her because I know that if I know whether or not I'm going to catch her or not.
You've got a responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay, so of those pairs elements, twist, you said, was your favourite?
I do like the twist. There's something quite nice about it.
What's the hardest?
Oh, so, honestly, the throw flip, I think, is the hardest, yeah. So we managed to do the throw triple loop within
really
a few
nice.
Sessions of kind of trying it. That really came easy. The flip's taking a bit longer. We can do a really solid throw double. We can rotate get the throw triple around, but it's just awkward as a throw goes, because getting the timing of that is really difficult. Yeah, that's
hard.
And weirdly, actually, I was going to say, weirdly, actually, the death spiral is so difficult. Because when I watched that initially, I thought, oh, that'll be one of the easier ones. I was like, you know, compared to the twist, you know, where they throw them up really high, compared to the throws look really difficult. Those will take ages to learn. But I was like, oh, the death spiral, that looks like something we could master, you know,
fairly quickly,
yeah. No. that's really...
What's the difficulty? Is it, like, holding the edge? Or?
Well, for me, it's getting a decent pivot. I've never had a really good pivot.
Okay,
I've never been able to do spread eagles or anything. I've always been really envious of people that can do cantilevers.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh, I think they look so cool, and
well,
I've always wanted
fairness,
to do one.
You are very tall.
Oh,
which is 100% white.
Oh, okay, is that why? No. Fair enough. But yeah, I've always been jealous of cantilevers. But anyway, I think that's part of the reason why I just find that tough. But again, everything's timing. Learning how to do something with someone else, learning how to skate with someone else next to you is really difficult.
What about singles? There's a trend at the moment of defining, like, using jumps as a kind of proxy personality test. So what's your favourite and least favourite jump?
Ooh.
That listeners may draw their own conclusions.
Ooh. Well, I love toe. I love my toe. I feel like I'm quite good at toe. And loop as well. I've always found loop quite a comfortable jump.
Are you more of an edge guy or a toe guy in general?
Never thought of that before.
I don't know. Straddle the line.
I think if I had to pick a least favourite, I don't know. I think Axel. I'm not a fan of Axel. I feel like of all my jumps, I think Axel is the most awkward.
You've got that nice double axel sequence though.
Mm. Yeah, I like that one.
Do you land triple axels in practice?
Not at the moment. It's coming. We're working on it. It's coming. But no land of triple axels as yet. Yeah, work in progress. Yeah.
More stupid personality test questions.
Oh, always a fun thing.
If you could get a Winnie the Pooh doll, is there a new style? after each skate, what would you want chucked at you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I still have a spot for Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
Because I was told I cannot have this music by a previous coach.
Okay.
Because he didn't like it, and I was like, okay, no, I want this music. So when I left him as a coach, I was like, no, having that music. and I'm so glad I did. So I have a spot for Nightmare Before Christmas. So
anyone going to British Nationals, take note.
Yeah, if you, I will always be happy about.
Let's make it a Jack Storm hat. Anything that we might not know about you?
Ooh, I love Wally's.
You love Wally's?
I love Wally's.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, as a thing, as I always think double and triple Wally's should be a job. I've always thought that. Yeah, no, I love my Wally's. I like to do a few on the warm up, and I always like to try and make it as big as I can.
Would you ever add one to a choreo sequence?
Well, I'd be slightly worried that they count it as a loop.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I feel like if you rotate more than once, they'd want to count it as a jump.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I guess what I need to do is like do my seven jumps and then do a triple Wally.
Yeah, exactly.
Like learn a triple Wally first and then do one and just be like, yeah, how are you going to mark that?
What are you calling now?
Yeah, because they would call it, wouldn't they? They'd call something, or they might make my, I don't know if that would make my third spin not count or something like that.
No, surely not.
I don't know, because you're only allowed to do so many elements, aren't you?
Well, surely the last one. Okay, we will look into this.
Yes, we will look into this. This will be a work in progress.
And then we noticed you had very cool Batman training gear.
Ah, yes. Awesome. Yes, I love
that. Tell us about that.
Well, this is just part of my eccentricity, really. I feel like, you know, if I feel like, you know, I like training tops that reflect either the music I'm skating to or like personality, or like I have a few other ones as well that I've worn on competition practices before, where there's like a Kung Fu Panda on it.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love this top as well.
Where do you source them?
So there's some of them different places. One of them I bought off Facebook. That's like one of those targeted ad things.
Yeah, sure.
and I thought it was like £8. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll buy that because it looks cool. It'll probably be awful, but I'll, you know, get it. And it was like the nicest top ever. I was like, ah, bargain. But yeah, so some of them are like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu rash guards.
Oh,
see. There's a couple more that I've got my eye on that I really want. And I'm going to drop hints for Christmas.
Can you give us any hints?
Oh, I love the tatami rash guard brand.
Oh, okay.
They make like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu kit. There's a story to this. So basically a couple of years ago at the rink, they when I was training at a different rink, and they melted the ice because they'd hired out the space to hold the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu National Championships.
Okay.
And I was working at the rink. I was working like one of the cafe things, and right at the end, I think it was like 11 o'clock at night or something, they were putting the kit away. They had like one left, they had like one competition left. And we stood watching this competition, then we all had a go on the mats.
Oh, nice.
As a team of people who were working there. And they were putting these tops away, and I was looking at them going, oh, they look cool. So I was like, I went to the guy and was like, well, where'd you buy these from? And he gave me the you know, and I went and I bought like six. Because I just think they're so cool. But yeah, it was...
what was Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu like?
Oh, it's a weird sport.
What is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
It's like a martial arts.
Is it like
Jiu-Jitsu? It's a bit like judo,
Capoeira,
I think.
Or?
Yeah, a bit
okay.
like judo, I think. But yeah, no, it was fun.
I like how you saw the competition. You didn't take away from it the sport, just the kit.
Well, it would be a risk of injury, I think.
Oh,
I would,
yeah, no,
you know,
sure.
Like it was one of those things where like I would love to kind of do a bunch of different things. You know, it's like, oh, I'd love to do that, but I don't want to risk the injury of it. I actually, I was talking to Keegan Messing at Autumn Classic, and he rides his motorcycles,
yes,
and does skiing and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should give things a try.
it's true, he manages it. And then you've got your two character programs for this season.
Yes.
Any thoughts about what characters would you pick next season? Is there a wish list?
I don't know. I would love to do. One of the things I would. It's a bit like Queen. It's always been a bit of a second choice. I was always loved to do like a Russian folk song.
Ooh.
Thing. I don't quite know what piece of music it would be. It's always just been like a bit of an idea. It's not quite gone through that kind of evolved state away. I don't exactly know what the piece of music is, but I've always wanted to do kind of a stylized and dancey in that way. So you know, maybe that'll come to fruition. I don't know.
So last question. You also wear refreshingly colourful costumes, unlike the majority of men in the singles discipline and in pairs.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about how those get designed?
So so it's done by Sparkle by Joanne. She's very good. I've used her for the last, I think it's 5 or 6 outfits, if not years. We listen to the music, we come up with like the character piece. We come up with something that is, you know, we like, and she's very, very good. She comes up with stuff that I look at and go, oh well, I was thinking something like this, but that's better. Like for example with the Bohemian Rhapsody piece.
Yes.
I wanted to go with something like the yellow jacket,
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
white pants. And I knew this would look awful, but I wanted to go with it anyway because it's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Sure.
So she came up with the costume that I have now, which is infinitely better than that. And that's like a nod to kind of Freddie Mercury in different ways. So there's the red from We Are the Champions bit. There's like, you know, it's designed in different ways. There's like, he has like a, if you Google Freddie Mercury, they kept coming up like a black and white cat suit that he kept wearing.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like
so there's like, so we put a little bit around the waist on that. Yeah, there's just little nods to different Queen bits littered throughout that. So I really like that outfit just for that reason. That there's like little nods to different Queen bits there. The free program one is like a the ringmaster kind of thing, because
yeah,
we
sure.
had like, because again it's like a nod back to I liked the idea of having almost an abandoned
theme park
thing, yeah. So we thought, oh, why don't we have like a ringmaster type, say like a circus conductor type person, but we'll have it with Joker colours, yeah. And so yeah, both of these look really good. I really like them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And best of luck at British Nationals.
Thank you very much.
We look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, thank you.